stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge, episode number 46 here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa, and you can also find me everywhere else on Blue Sky, on Discord, wherever at Koopa Troopa 8. If you haven't seen it already, at South Harmon we're putting out a rookie draft guide. It is due to come out literally tomorrow if you are listening to this episode on the day it comes out, Sunday, February 23rd. If you have not already, go and reserve your copy now. Once it releases, it's going to go from $8.99 to $11.99, so you're getting it at a 25% discount by pre-ordering. So go ahead, go to southharmonff.com and reserve your copy right now. Or you can go to draftguide25.com, and that will also take you to the same place. And of course, if you like all the stuff we're doing here at South Harmon, you need to make sure that you have the Warp Tool, which you can also find on that website, and then also that you're a part of the Patreon. In the Patreon, we have tons of conversations all about Dynasty, helping people with their startup drafts, the upcoming rookie class, and we're discussing there every single day. If you love this kind of content, you want to be a part of that community. So go to patreon.com/southharmon and sign up. This episode is a little bit of a look into how I do some of my roster maintenance. I recently added something to my periodic check-in on all my rosters that is based off of the previous series that I did on how many backups you can have on your roster and still be competitive. What I did was I went through all of my teams and I made a note of how many of each position is ideal. So in all my best ball leagues, that's pretty simple. I just went through and took two for every single position that I have in my lineup. So I have two quarterbacks, say four running backs, six wide receivers, two tight ends, six flex spots, and a super flex spot. And realistically, I made that super flex spot, or the two for that super flex, two quarterbacks, because you always want to have a quarterback filling your super flex, unless your scoring is really wacky. And I don't have a league like that. So I went through and filled all that out where this is my ideal. And then I also filled out how many of each position I feel comfortable having filled right now. At this point in February, how many of these teams would I say I am comfortable with saying, yeah, I have 4 out of 4 quarterbacks. I have 4 out of 4 running backs. I have, say, 7 out of 6 wide receivers. That means I have 1 extra wide receiver for a flex, so I'm missing 5 flex players. And I went through and did that for every single team, and I noticed something that was kind of interesting. I talk about this ideal that I shoot for, that I want to have 2 players for every single position. That's what I'm aiming for, that's the roster construction I want to have. But I didn't have a single league where that was actually true. I didn't have a single league where I could point to it and say, yes, I have actually met that roster construction, and potentially that I'm exceeding it. The closest out of any of my best ball leagues that I was to being at the ideal was still 6 players away. And I started to notice that the number of players that I had on my teams versus the ideal, there was at least somewhat of a pattern. And that pattern kind of helped me see my teams in a different light. So none of the teams had that perfect ideal. And the closest was still 6 players away, in terms of ones that I would say I truly felt comfortable. But what I did notice was that in most of those leagues, those were ones where I was missing somebody out of the quarterback spot. I was potentially missing a couple of flex spots, or I was missing a running back spot. And a lot of the players that were on those teams were ones that you don't feel confident in February, but when you get to November and there's a bunch of injuries and you're playing with backup quarterbacks and backup running backs and things like that, all of a sudden those guys are the ones that were slotting in. And that was how I was actually winning my championships. But at this point in the offseason, it looks way more dire. I'm not in point scoring season, and so naturally I have a narrowed view of these are the players that actually matter to me. I am projecting 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. So when I'm counting my quarterback numbers, I'm only including 32 quarterbacks. And those 32 quarterbacks are all going to be the most valuable 32 quarterbacks because those are the 32 that everybody wants. And with running backs, I was only counting anyone that I would put in the about the top 45 or so as a running back that I actually wanted. And everyone outside of that range cast them off. Well, there's not that many running backs when you distribute them among all the teams. And so, of course, I wasn't hitting these lofty numbers where I needed potentially four running backs for every single team. And same thing goes with the wide receivers. And it is even more accentuated because in best ball, I tend to go with a strategy of getting these really, really crusty wide receivers. And by having a bunch of them, they kind of just fill in as needed. And that was part of the impetus for doing the whole backup roster construction series anyway. But as I was looking through this, I realized that at this point in the offseason, it's really, really hard to have a team that you're fully confident with. And so if you're making moves right now that you're saying, hey, I want this to be able to be the team that I want in September, that is just going to be guaranteed to win me my game. I have perfect roster construction for the upcoming season. That's obviously not the place you want to be in. Championships are not won in February, but those opportunities can be created. And so that's what we're trying to do here. So looking at this, I noticed that even on my best teams, I still had 6 or 7 spots where I'm like, I don't feel confident with this. And that's where, when I start combining this with potential draft capital, with potential, hey, do I want to try and split up some assets on this team? That's where this becomes really, really helpful. So by going through this exercise, what I was able to see is kind of where my weakness is as a manager. In terms of how do I actually roster construct on these teams, and does that work for a rebuilding team? Am I going to be able to have these teams that maybe I think it's in a little bit more of a rebuilding year, but they end up surprising me? They end up in a position to compete where I accidentally got there. And the thing that I noticed about this, going through this whole exercise, is that on my teams that I'm not competing, I do such a poor job of getting running backs. All of my teams that were out of the playoffs, that were not good last year, I never had more than 2 relevant running backs on those teams, and the vast majority of them had either 0 or 1. In a best ball league, that's not good. Because I want to have at least 4 guys in order to be competitive. And in all my competing teams, I had 4, 5, even 6 running backs available on all of those teams. There's some where I have slightly less than that now. I have 1 team that was for sure competing last year, where I'm down to 3 running backs. And that mostly just has to do with that I was picking up backup guys for week 17, because I started coming down with some injuries, I traded some guys around. I understand why that one team is the only one that is below 4. But every other team that is competing is at that 4 number. And a lot of my rebuilding teams are in somewhat of a position to compete from the wide receiver spot. They have potentially 5-6 wide receivers that are going to be useful to the team. Some of them, the roster construction would imply that I want 8 wide receivers, and I'm sitting there at 8 wide receivers. But it's the running backs that are really holding me back. One thing that I did last year, when I was going into the season, and when I was saying, hey, I want to put my team in the best position for the future, is that I sold off all of my assets that I deemed as not good to hold on for value. And when I did that for all those teams that are not competing, I had a fire sale on all my running backs. And I realize now at this point in the offseason that maybe wasn't the best idea to do. The first thing is that it didn't give me an opportunity to have some of these teams just randomly start competing for me. I had a few teams that ended up not being competitive, and that's normal. You have a few teams that you overestimate, that get bad injury luck, and all of a sudden a team that you think is going to be top three is all of a sudden, like, clearly out of the playoffs and is not that competitive. And that's part of being a dynasty manager and knowing, hey, this team, I need to switch it into rebuilding mode. And I have these older veterans that are still useful to somebody else. Let me get the value now. And I had a few of those, and I thought I managed those ones well. However, the teams that I did not get very many of were the ones that I did not think were going to do well and vaulted themselves up. I only had 2 of those this past year. And with a portfolio of 42 teams, I would think that I have more than that. I would think I have more teams than just 2 that surprised me out of nowhere. And so I want to try and put myself in that position this coming year. And so I'm going to be looking to find ways to do that this offseason. I want to try and put my team in a spot where some of these teams that I think are just going to be rebuilding can surprise me. They can do better in the season, but I'm not trying to force them into being competitive. So I need to try and build a strategy. And with this upcoming 25 class, it kind of plays well into what my weakness was. Seeing my weakness of, hey, I'm getting rid of all of these running backs. I don't want to have any of these guys, and so I have so many teams that only have 0 running backs or 1 running back. Well, this upcoming class is very deep at the running back position. The running back position is going to be the one that is drafted a ton through the 2nd round and the 3rd round of our rookie drafts, and potentially even deeper. So knowing this, I can look at a lot of my teams and go, I'm okay at the receivers. I'm okay at the quarterbacks. Maybe it's not my ideal, but I am going to be fine for a bunch of them. I have quite a few of them where I have 3 quarterbacks available to me, where I have 4 quarterbacks available to me. I have those 6 or 8 wide receivers. I need to turn them into competitors. And the best way to do that is to fill out that running back position. So I'm going to be drafting a bunch of running backs with those teams this year. And this is something that I need to know now. That way I can start preparing myself for it. And knowing that a lot of these teams, I don't need the extra wide receivers. So all these first round wide receivers we're going to be talking about, where we want to have our Luther Burdens, and we want to have our Tetroya McMillans, and our Travis Hunters, I don't need to go as hard on those. And for a lot of these rebuilding teams, what I really need is just a lot of the running back depth. So yeah, if I have the 101, I want to take Ashton Jeanty, because he's an absolute stud running back, and you don't want to miss out on those studs. But in terms of roster constructing the rest of the way, I might be looking to trade back a lot of those picks. And I might be wanting to try and do some of that now. Because of this class, because of the uniqueness of it, we know that we're going to have a good, really, really high end. The first couple picks, of everybody's going to want those because those are the really good players. We have the second tier of players that is going to be interesting, but they're definitely not at the same level as classes before. The previous draft classes, especially comparing back to the 24 class, like some of the players that we would potentially be drafting with like the 106, 107 are ones that we would be comparing to like the 202 and 203 of last year by the time we fully get through this process. So that means that we're going to have this huge dead zone for all these picks that are at like 108, 109, 110. Like right now, they all still look pretty good. They all look like, hey, they are these first round draft picks. But can I trade them for moving back and collecting some future capital? Can I get a early second in 25 and then maybe also pick up what they think is going to be a late second in 26? Can I maybe just get a late second in 25 and get a random second in 26? Can I go through and do some of these move back traits and take advantage of the fact that this class is going to peter out on the high end pretty quickly? But I want to try and get some of these running backs that are going to be available later. Because what I need is shots. I need running backs who are going to pop, that are going to appear for my fantasy teams when I'm not really expecting something. And that's how I'm going to make a lot of these teams competitive. And it has to go back to what my roster construction is. Roster construction is something that is always shifting based on what's available to you and what you already have. In my case, I have a ton of wide receivers. I have a ton of quarterbacks. I have some tight ends, and so I don't need to go chasing a lot of those guys either. But what I don't have is the running backs. And so this 25 class is perfectly suited for me to analyze that and go, all right, let me invest heavily. Let me go into the 2025 class and get a ton of running backs that I need for my fantasy teams. Now, I'm not going to necessarily be expecting that it's going to get me a ton of high-end guys. Like, yeah, we do have the couple high-end running backs. We have your Ashton Gentes, your Amarian Hamptons, but the third running back, that's pretty up in the air. And my point is, I'm not trying to necessarily get a ton of the third running back. Like, sure, yeah, he probably will have the best odds of hitting at the NFL level. But if I can just get myself shots at a bunch of the later round guys and then accrue some extra future draft capital so that way I could potentially do something like this again, where I just get a bunch of future late round picks and draft them all, that's what I'm going to be aiming for this year. And knowing that now allows me to take advantage of some of the market uncertainty. A lot of people are right now looking at, hey, I want to try and shift up in the draft. Not many people are necessarily looking at just saying, I'm just going to bow out. I'm just going to keep going back and just start accruing all these picks. And so for the few people that are trading right now, I want to see, what can I get done? How can I actually move these picks around so that way I'm reducing the total number of these mid-range draft picks that are going to be the wrong position for me? I don't need the quarterbacks. I don't need the wide receivers. But if I can find a way to start trading out of those, and I can do that when people don't realize that the value of those picks has gotten lessened, then I can make a big profit on the back end. Now, of course, I have no idea whether this is going to work. But as I'm getting into draft season in general, I know that I need to focus heavily on getting a bunch of these younger running backs. I need to focus on getting these guys who are going to come in and hopefully shake up the NFL at the running back position, because there's so many good running backs in this class. And maybe that looks a little different for your teams. What I challenge you, the listener, to do is to go through and look at all your teams. Look at them from a roster construction point of view. And look across your portfolio. Don't look at any one specific team. Just look across the whole thing. Do you tend to lean towards one position over another? Are you more confident about holding on to one position when you're rebuilding versus holding on to another when you're competing? And how do your teams actually look compared to what you think about them? I know my teams, when I looked at them, I thought they were going to be much closer to my overall intended roster construction than I thought. I thought that I was going to have some that were within at least one or two of my ideal roster construction. But in fact, I had none that were closer than six. And so, knowing that I have all these moves to make makes this offseason now something that I can have a plan for. I can understand, okay, I need to get a bunch of these running backs. I need to try and shift around a bunch of these draft picks. And I need to go against some of the biases that I have. When I see a trade come into my inbox, I know immediately what I think I want to do. I want to try and get the quarterbacks, and I usually want to try and get the wide receivers. That's just where my bias is. But on some of my teams, like I have one of them, it was not competitive at all this past year. But what does it have? It has six viable starting quarterbacks for next year. That team probably could have been competing this past year had I actually, you know, focus in on this and realize, wait a second, my roster construction is in fact off. And so I need to shift some of those quarterbacks. And now that I have the full offseason ahead of me, find a way to get that where that value is going into other positions. So that league I mentioned, I have six quarterbacks, one running back, six wide receivers, no tight ends, and no flex. So if I can shift some of those quarterbacks into getting myself more flex players, more tight ends, and I know I have a bunch of draft picks already, then I know that I can turn this team into being a competitor this upcoming year. And not only will it be a competitor, it'll be a competitor with its full slate of future draft picks. And I know that I won't have to be doing very much in order to turn this team into an absolute powerhouse in the league that it's in. But it's easier to look at it and go, okay, I need to make these changes to this league when it's part of my overall portfolio. When it's part of the overall, hey, I know that I need running backs in this league. I know that I need some flex depth because those are the things I don't have in my competitive teams. But that's really the only thing that's separating a lot of my non-competitive teams with my competitive ones. So if I can just focus in on making those changes across all those teams in my portfolio, I can have a lot more teams competing when we get to September, October, November, and December of this upcoming year. So go through and do this exercise on your teams. Do this exercise across your entire portfolio. How do you actually play as a dynasty manager? And be willing to identify your biases and say, I know this is my bias and I'm going to accept that. And now I need to find a way to counter it. That's everything that I have for you this week. If you have not gone and signed up for the South Harmon Rookie Guide, so that way you can take a look at all these running backs that I've been talking about wanting to get on my teams, make sure you go to draftguide25.com or the South Harmon website at southharmonff.com. And as always, if you ever have any questions, please reach out to me on Twitter at Dynasty Koopa or everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. Stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.